Welcome back, folks. Second hour is on. This spooky edition of the... I just tried to lay out a few arguments as to why things like racism and anti-Semitism don't exist and aren't worthy of a response. I think I want to illustrate that now by going sort of the end result of what these words bring about, what these bizarre and inhuman concepts take us to. Let's go to clip 11 here. This is, believe it or not, the head of the Canadian military. This is the head of the Canadian military getting choked up and almost crying because of supposed racism in the past. This is you, Heritage Foundation guy. This is what you look like to us. Let's watch.
Systemic racism, racial discrimination, and harassment are an affront to these values, and yet we allowed these injustices to occur and fester within our ranks. Therefore, on behalf of the Canadian Armed Forces, I offer my most sincere and deepest apologies. I apologize to every CAF member, veteran who experienced racism, discrimination, and harassment. And I acknowledged we failed you.
I'm so sorry. It's like, imagine, like, you know, the opening scene of Patton, General Patton, in front of that big American flag, going, I'm just so sorry. I'm just so sorry that we treated you so badly. Shut up. Shut up, lady. It's just, it's pathetic. There's just something so utterly pathetic about all of this. When you, especially when you consider the fact that Canada, of all places, but America as well, the least racist places in the entire world. Canada and America are, you know, beacons of equality or and acceptance, even when compared to a place like Europe, where they still, you know, hang on to sort of some old world predilections. She's going to sit there and cry about the racism, the abuse people have felt. Doesn't exist. It's not real. Can you imagine? Can you imagine General George S. Patton ever apologizing for the perceived racism against people who didn't even really exist? Like, how many minorities were there even in the Canadian Army back when racism was still a thing? I feel like it's just not even necessary or useful to argue the points of this. Try to argue about the reality of whether racism existed or not. It's just, this is all hogwash. It's all deception. It's all illusion. Why would we be apologizing for it? You know, it's kind of like, what is this? Our task is to confront those poisonous ideas at every turn, to prevent them from taking America to a very dark place. Join us not to cancel, but to guide, challenge, and strengthen the conversation, and be confident that that our best ideas at the heart of Western civilization will prevail. Well, the problem is, what's happening is that they are. And there's a lot of people trying to stop that, and you're now helping them. Problem is that when you're ideas are subjected to an open marketplace, we come out on top. That's the whole problem. That's the whole issue. So when you contribute to this by co-signing claims of anti-Semitism or racism, all you're doing is putting powder in the magazine of your enemy. Reject it outright, reject it completely, and let the chips fall where they may. Now, if this was done because of a funding push, because donors were going to withdraw funds over it, you should expose them and say that's why. Oh, and by the way, they're not even remotely happy about this.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, folks, we're going to move on. I'll just do one more note on the Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes, Heritage Foundation scandal, the drama over all this right now. And that is to say that you need to calm down. Everybody needs to just calm the hell down, all right? It's not a big deal. It's just not. Nick Fuentes talking to Tucker Carlson. It's fine. It's fine. They talked. Video went out. Nobody died. We're all fine. We're all fine. It's all good, right? Why is it that this single conversation, which nobody can really find anything objectionable even to point to, except that Nick said he admires Stalin, which he's clearly talking about in a you know, political way, admired how he took Russia from a backwater, you know, country of peasants to a nuclear power in like 15 years. Say what you want. It's an impressive feat. And that's it, pretty much. He admires a historical figure that we were allied with in World War II. And I guess maybe he said he doesn't hate Hitler. I don't even know if that came up in the debate. So there's a conversation between prominent conservative influencers where they lay out and with perfect clarity and, as far as I can tell, sincerity, why they have the beliefs that they have, where it comes from, what they think, you know, the solution to some of the world's problems are. And this is being treated like literally the beginning of a new Holocaust. And like, do people not understand how that is in many ways like a self-fulfilling process? Where like, this is not a big deal. This is really not that big of a deal at all. Okay? Why are people treating it? I saw a post. I'll bring some posts up. I have a video, but I can try to find some posts in the meantime of people just being like, this is it. This is it. To my fellow Jews, time to arm yourself. Arm yourself and find safe houses. And it's like, guys, what are you talking about? We are in America in the year 2025. Literally the only thing that's happening is people want Israel to stop killing children. That's it. It's literally it. And every time the response to that is to claim that you must hate Jews and should therefore be silenced, what do you think is going to happen? People go, oh, I didn't realize it made me anti-Semitic. Kill the children. Sorry, my new stance is kill the children, so I don't want to be perceived as hateful. It's like, what do you think is going to happen when the reaction is like this? Just chill. Like, we are in such a crazy feedback loop. And the reason it's crazy is because it's so easy to intercede. It's so easy to stop this process. Just stop demanding that we kick Tucker Carlson out of the party. Just stop. Stop acting like this is a life or death situation. This is just, it's just completely insane. And just my message to all the people out there that are spending all day, every day, working themselves up into a frenzy over this, just chill. just chill, just relax. Everything's fine. Israel ain't going anywhere. American support for Israel ain't going anywhere anytime soon. And the way to make sure that it does go away is to have no introspection, to have no, question about what has brought this state about, but to believe wholeheartedly that this is a characteristic of the European DNA, like Josh Hammer says, that anti-Semitism just exists, will always exist, and it does not matter what you do. I've explained this so many times. They have to have you believe that so they can keep doing what they're doing. If you believe that anti-Semitism is something inborn, it's some taint of the European DNA, it's some disease that we all have, just, symptoms might not be expressing themselves quite yet. If that's what you believe, then you're never going to look for the cause. You're never going to look for the process that got people to this point, and you're going to just make the same mistakes over and over. And I'm so genuine in this. Like, why aren't you listening to us? We keep being right. What were we saying in like November of 2023 when the bombing campaign first really got going and there were the first just horrifying and breathtaking videos of just the massacres, the dismembered children, the hospitals being bombed? Us anti-Israel, so-called anti-Israel, anti-Semitic people, what were we saying? We're going, this is not a good look for Israel. If this goes on, nobody's going to like it, and they're going to lose a lot of support, and it's going to make things a lot harder for them. If they think that conquering Gaza will be such a benefit for them, they should really be weighing that against the perception of the world that they're going to create of themselves if they continue like this. And then they just keep going, and look where we are now. Lowest approval rating, lowest, Israel support of all time across the entire world. An actual existential crisis now for Israel as the EU cuts them off and Netanyahu can't even go to half the countries in Europe because he'll be arrested. Why weren't you listening to us? And what have you achieved? You killed 100,000 children and women, and Hamas is still powerful and in control of Gaza, and you got the hostages back, but a lot of them were killed in the meantime, and you could have just done that, in October of 2023 anyway when they wanted to negotiate. So what have you achieved with all of this? You've achieved nothing but guaranteeing an infinitely more difficult future for yourselves because of all of the opposition you've now inspired. Well, why did you persist in doing that? Why did you persist in taking any criticism, even constructive criticism, as an attack on Jews as a whole that must be silenced? It's ridiculous. So I'm telling you again, you've got to stop. We're telling Israel in November of 2023, y'all shouldn't do this. This isn't a good idea. They keep doing it. It's terrible. Everything's terrible. And they tried to get us into war with Iran. Thank God we avoided that. But even as far as they went with Donald Trump doing the bombing campaign, that's like a quarter of his support gone. Like, a quarter of the people I know that followed Trump and were willing to, give him the benefit of the doubt. The moment he bombs Iran, it's like, well, he's controlled by Israel. Screw this guy. Screw them. Like, I'm telling you right now, you are again engaged in this ridiculous smear job. This is Avi Yemeni in response to the Heritage post. Nice attempt at cleanup. It's easy to take shots at Fuentes. Let's see you apply that same energy to Tucker, who platformed him without a single challenge. Like, dude, shut up, Avi. Shut up right now. For your own good, shut up. Jesus. I mean, these people, man. Not good enough. Condemn Tucker too. And it's just like, y'all, you've got to stop. You have to stop. And it's just crazy because it's just like, I don't even know, man. It's just a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's just all self-fulfilling. And you're just making demands that people can't meet and don't want to meet. And even when the Heritage Foundation guy comes out and writes an entire essay denouncing Nick Fuentes. The response is, yeah, okay, but what about Tucker? And it's like, y'all need to chill. You just need to chill, honestly. You got two options. Continue down the road where you keep making demands, you keep getting pissed off, you keep pissing everybody else off, you ratchet up the temperature over and over and over and over again until it all explodes, and then, oh, look, you're proven right, right? Oh, look, you keep telling us, everybody, that everybody hates you and that this is a big issue and this is the beginning of the second Holocaust, and it's like, we're just telling you to chill, just chill, just stop. And you keep pushing, and eventually you're going to prove yourself right. Congratulations. Idiots. Stop. The hell is wrong with you? So let's go to this video. This is in response to the Heritage thing and the Tucker thing. Clip 26 here. Apparently, because Tucker Carlson interviewed Nick Fuentes, they talked for a few hours. Now American Jews are setting up escape routes to Israel. Okay. Why don't you just chill instead? Let's watch clip 26 here.
You know, we were talking before about when is time? When is time to run away? When do you understand that there's no future in a place where you can see things happening? You know, before the World War II, before the Holocaust,
yeah,
there were signs everywhere. And this does seem like a little bit of a sign. It's a worrying sign, yeah, but we still are choosing to stay and fight.
You know, my rabbi, who I love, Rabbi Goldschmidt, said that we are a 3,300-year-old people. Why are we scared of a 33-year-old politician? And I think that there is some truth to that, but I'm not sure that I completely agree with it because, yes, of course, the Jewish people are eternal, but this is going to get ugly. And it's not just about Zoram Mamdani becoming mayor. It's about the consequences that will take place in the rest of the country. Because, you know, when New York City sneezes, the rest of the country catches a cold. It's really the epicenter of all things in America.
Yeah.
And so,
and
what
this
says,
it's the biggest, largest group of Jewish people living in New York, right?
Outside of Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what this says to the rest of the country is that an inexperienced left-wing radical socialist is now a kosher candidate.
Yeah.
And it's going to you will see a ripple effect throughout the rest of the country. And it's just like with anti-Semitism, you know, we become so desensitized to statements like Free Palestine, statements like globalize the Intifada. What else are we going to become desensitized to before we wake up and we're like, oh, maybe it's time to start protecting ourselves either with self-defense measures or maybe it's time to yalla aliyah, you know? I don't know how much more time we have to be safe. And I'm going to stay and fight for right now. I'm not going anywhere. I think, you know, we have an obligation. I'm not ready to throw in the towel. But we're going to have to be vigilant. And I, you know, 10 years, it could be less. But the way things are going, I'm not so sure that America is going to be a safe place for Jews.
Yeah, you need to chill, lady. You need to chill. You honestly need to chill. Cruz, McConnell slam Heritage President's defense of Tucker Carlson. You know, and the thing is about this, is that the divide is, you know, we've pointed out many times, they want to talk about the woke right, they want to talk whatever. The reality is there's the America First side and there's the Zionist right side. That's the division. That's it. Now, the American right side is, or the American First nationalist side, it's not pro-Israel, typically anti-Israel. But that's not the reason they're America First, right? It's not, they don't define themselves by Israel and their support or hate of Israel. It's just that not supporting Israel is just part and parcel with every other nationalistic policy to have. I feel the same way about Israel as I do about any other country. And I don't like when they kill 100,000 children for no reason. I'm not defined by my stance on Israel. It's just my stance on Israel is informed by all the other America First stances I hold. The Zionist right, on the other hand, they have one concern. They have one issue. They have one thing that overrides all of their other considerations, and that is the foreign state of Israel and absolute, abject, and unquestioning support for that state of Israel. Again, Tucker Carlson still sings the praises of Israel every chance he gets. He just doesn't like the choices of Benjamin Netanyahu and the people in charge of it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He has to be destroyed. So, I mean, I know I'm not going to be listened to. I know it's like, you know, physically impossible for this to be the case. But honestly, you should just chill. You can just relax. You can just not keep up with the attempts to pressure and silence people and you know, censor people. Like, just stop. You can just stop at any point and you'll be fine. But or you can move to Israel. So that's fine, too, I guess. I guess maybe now is the time. Make Aliyah to Israel. We're so close to pogroms, obviously. Anyway, it's just exhausting and annoying to have to go through this over and over forever, endlessly. And the reality is, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, people have looked at some things like in Florida. In Florida, there is like a specific fund for security for Jewish organizations. And it's like $17 million. It's some huge amount of money. It's like twice as much money as the rest of the state's budget of like civic interaction. I'll find the exact charts, but it's like, it's sort of a good example. Okay. Right now, you're about 1,000 times more likely to be attacked in a church. We've seen a hell of a lot more attacks on churches, Catholic schools, religious institutions of a Christian bent than Jewish. Not to say there haven't been attacks on Jewish. There's people killed in D.C. Those aides or staffers that were murdered by a Palestinian, that was brutal. There's the Tree of Life synagogue shooting. That was bad. No, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. But I'm saying if you go to church, you're more likely to be a victim of a random mass shooting. I don't think churches get any funding from the government. But, you know, like every Jewish school, every synagogue has round-the-clock armed guards, massive security measures, all paid for by the state. And so it's like, okay, are you really under that big of a threat that you need to exist in this walled off, you know, excluded area of our country, that you get, you know, security grants by the millions of dollars to maintain your security? Is it that big of a threat? Or is doing that only going to piss people off because we see our tax dollars going to pay for one particular group's security and comfort to the detriment of the rest of us? Is it really worth it? And it's just a feedback loop that just goes on and on. And again, it's not that, why then when Tucker Carlson allows Nick Fuentes to lie without pushback, are we not allowed to be equally as critical? Yeah, great job. What's the guy's name, Kevin? Great job, Kevin. You've apologized, you've debased yourself, you've genuflected in front of the angry mob. And lo and behold, they're not satisfied. Oh my gosh, who would have thought? Who could have possibly thought they would have wanted more? But all that to say that you actually do have very intense oppression against Christians in this country that goes totally unaddressed, uncared for, unrectified. Go to clip 34. This isn't in this country. This is in Canada, but obviously it's just an extenuation of what's happening in Europe and what will soon arrive here. This is a guy making the case that portions of the Bible are hateful and should therefore be banned. Portions of the Bible should not be allowed to be read out loud. Let's go to clip 34 here.
Just use the chair's prerogative for 2 seconds to ask a follow-up question to Mr. Ross. And it's despicable and as unlawful, I believe the statements made by Mr. Shekaui were and would be if they were stated again. We don't know why the prosecution chose not to continue with the charges. And perhaps it is to Mr. Fortin's point. I just want to dig in a bit about the concept of good faith. Mr. Ross, in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Romans, there's other passages, there is clear hatred towards, for example, homosexuals. I understand how the concept of good faith could be invoked if someone were literally invoking a passage from, in this case, the Bible, but there are other religious texts that say the same thing, and somehow say that this is good faith. I mean, clearly there are situations in these texts where these statements are hateful. They should not be used to invoke or be a defense, and there should perhaps be discretion for prosecutors to press charges. I just want to understand what your notion of good faith is in this context, where there are clearly passages in religious texts that are clearly hateful.
There are clearly passages in religious texts that are clearly hateful and should therefore be banned. Now let's go to clip 36 here, I believe it is, or is it 37? This is Michael Knowles talking about how the Biden administration targeted Christians over and over again. Let's watch.
What kind of a message do you think that sends when our own government is attempting to spy on people of faith and put spies into pews and churches?
If four words, Senator, the message is don't go to church. And coincidentally, I'm here today to testify about this event at the University of Pittsburgh when Antifa threw an explosive during one of my events. The FBI reached out to me afterward. They asked if I would speak, and I said no, because the story had just come out that the FBI had been infiltrating Catholic parishes under the Biden administration. We know that the DOJ had been prosecuting nuns, had been going after pro-lifers, had been going after Christians broadly, and I couldn't take that risk. A damning fact about how our government has operated and the position of Christians in the United States.
I just want to leave everybody in the room and watching this with one more picture of Mark Houck. Speaking of pro-lifers, Mark Houck is a devout Christian. He believes in the right to life of every American. Here he is with his beautiful family. Our own government sent an FBI SWAT team to this man's door at 5 in the morning to arrest him with guns drawn in front of his children. He was later acquitted, I might add. They charged him with ridiculous crimes that amounted to essentially praying in front of an abortion clinic. I think it's time for our government to do some soul searching. You can talk about soul searching that needs to go on. How about the fact that our own government in the last 4 years used the FBI against pro-lifers, used the FBI against Christian parents, attempted to recruit spies into Catholic churches? When our government is doing this, is it any surprise that we see deranged lunatics out there shooting people like Charlie Kirk? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So there you go. Just another smattering of just some of the oppression against Christians that the Western world is exhibiting right now. Well, meanwhile, I did find it wasn't an article, it was actually a video by Ryan Matta, but it wasn't $17 million, it's $36 million. He writes, did you know that over $36 million in Florida's 2024 to 2025 budget for K-12 students, so the education budget for the state of Florida, contains $36 million for combating anti-Semitism, and only $17.8 million for civic engagement? So school children in Florida will now be subject to around $17 million worth of civic engagement funding, but $36 million to make sure they aren't anti-Semitic, i.e. never question Israel or anybody else in this country who supports Israel. So Is that worth it? I don't know. I mean, when I hear $36 million to combat anti-Semitism, I don't get less anti-Semitic. We'll be right back.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS, because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, they go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Halloween edition of The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Let's talk about politics, shall we? Let's talk about some of the major goings-on in Washington, D.C. today. The fallout of the revelation of Arctic Frost and the impropriety, the abject abuse of the FBI and various law enforcement to go after Republicans continues. And a lot of other major investigations are starting, and all of this is combined. This is all one big battle going on, right? From Russiagate to the Ukraine war to the stolen election in 2020, COVID. It's like all of these things play into this one narrative strain that we've all been living, which is Donald Trump as the outsider of the system coming in, trying to reorganize the establishment to work better for the American people, and the deep state going to outrageous lengths to try to stop him, and all sort of aligned with one another. All the various scandals are aligned with one another, right? There's a reason that they didn't say Trump went to China and is a Chinese agent. There's a reason they didn't call him a agent of Brazil, right? No, it was Russia. It had to be Russia because it was in line with the propaganda push anyway, preparing us for the war with Russia that they'd intended on and were trying to provoke for a very long time. It's not a coincidence that the Bidens and the Kerrys and the Pelosis and everybody else had their fingers in Ukraine, where they were engaged in a bunch of corrupt dealing. When Donald Trump tried to look into that, they stopped him. And it all had to do with weapon shipments to Ukraine. Like, they have plans, they have major operations, many years in the making. Donald Trump was interrupting some of those, and so a lot of the actions that you saw, and we explained at the time, they were defensive actions. They should be considered defensive actions. So fast forward to 2020, they launch COVID in order to get the lockdown, in order to get the mail-in ballots, in order to rig the 2020 election, followed by January 6th, again rigged by the Democrats, refused to provide the security, and then order the Capitol Police to fire on the peaceful crowd. Then they have the January 6th hearings where they provide a bunch of completely outrageous and you know, baseless accusations and falsified evidence to convince the American people that this was the worst thing ever. I mean, all of this is part and parcel. It's all part of the same operation being carried out in just various different manifestations. And so trying to cover it is almost difficult because it's like layers of crimes happening, layers of manipulation, layers of malfeasance. Sometimes one scandal will be the excuse to get a warrant, which actually has to do with this other scandal that they're trying to cover up. Like, it gets a little confusing here. But the good news is, it appears as though finally, after long last, after a half a decade of radio silence, some of the blatant cheating in the 2020 election may actually come to light. I'll say it's never too late to do this investigation. Would have been nice to have it done at the time. We didn't even really need it done at the time. We knew it. We actually did the investigation. We saw all of it live. And, you know, just to list off the amount of impropriety and manipulation that happened in 2020 would take me all show. And I could just do it off the top of my head. And I'm sure if I researched and looked into it, there's a lot of stuff I forgot. But from the truck delivery in Pennsylvania to New York, and the guy testifying under oath that the chain of custody was broken, to the innumerable examples of bags or boxes of mail-in ballots found on the side of the road in California or wherever else, to the illegal aliens signing up to vote, now being purged from rolls in places like Texas and California, to the training at the Detroit facility where they were told to take the mail-in ballot even when the person said, "I didn't send in a mail-in ballot, I'm here to vote in person." To the water main breaking in Georgia. To the fact that every single bizarre and inexplicable anomaly on voting night in 2025 just so happened to occur in those five main states that everybody knew were going to be the swing states, were going to be the ones that you needed to win. Like, you think anybody would be suspicious if, I don't know, Colorado had a main break and had to stop counting and then start it again? It wouldn't have really mattered. But that didn't happen in Colorado, did it? What a coincidence it happened in Georgia, a state that was necessary for Biden to win. What a coincidence that the claims of truckloads of mail-in ballots going missing happened to be in Pennsylvania. Strange how all of the Sharpie Gate and the, you know, Tina Peters and all of this stuff happened in Arizona. There were five states where all of these various anomalies all happened to occur, and they happened to be the five states in question that the Biden campaign desperately needed to win. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. The vote was rigged, and we all know it was rigged. And maybe the biggest piece of evidence that we have at this point is the fact that the vote totals for America went from like 160 million to 190 million in 2020, back to 160 million in 2024. For some reason, that 2020 election had tens of millions of more votes than any other election. Oh, and don't forget the line graph that jumped up for Joe Biden, just the right amount to overwhelm Trump support. I mean, the whole thing was just rigged right in front of our eyes, and the media knew predetermined ahead of time. And even that, like we were explaining it in the run-up to the election, we were going, look, guys, they're telling everybody that it's going to look like Trump's winning, and then in the middle of the night, it's going to flip to Biden. Like they were, and that's the communication that happens at the high levels between they write articles for each other going, hey, guys, just be prepared for when we cheat, be prepared to know how to come up. Here's your argument ahead of time that we couldn't possibly know if this was a legitimate election, but somehow we know that this is going to be the case. So we're preparing the media to treat this normal, as if it's normal. That all the exit polls are going to show Trump won. All day, it's going to look like Trump won. But don't say that because probably, if I had to guess, by the next day, it will have flipped to Biden. So just be prepared for that, and it's totally normal. And we expect it because, you know, mail-in ballots take longer to count. And if you question any of this, you're a terrorist because it was the most secure election of all time. Again, the whole thing is just, well, it's in need of some major justice, and we may be getting that. DOJ demands records on unexplained anomalies in 2020 election after Fulton County did not comply with subpoena. The Department of Justice sent a letter to the Fulton County Board of Registration and Elections on Thursday demanding records related to what Georgia's Board of Elections is called, quote, unexplained anomalies in vote tabulation and storage related to the 2020 election in the county. Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights Harmeet Dhillon wrote on behalf of Attorney General Pam Bondi, quote, on behalf of the Attorney General of the United States, we request that you present for inspection in its entirety and most original form all records in your possession responsive to the recent subpoena issued to your office by the State Election Board. The Civil Rights Division sends this request consistent with its ongoing obligations to ensure all citizens' voting rights have been and are protected in all elections. Title III of the Civil Rights Act of 1960. Empowers the Attorney General to request preserved election records. And so just remember that, like, all of the Arctic Frost lawfare, first of all, didn't happen right after the election, didn't even happen right after January 6th, only happened once Trump announced he would be running in 2024. That's when all of the surveillance and gathering of records from MAGA occurred. But that even asking this question, it's now coming from Harmeet Dhillon and Pam Bondi, that question and them asking it was considered the crime that predicated all of the spying and surveillance. Now, the real question is, and it's an obvious and rhetorical one, why wouldn't they provide the evidence? Why wouldn't they comply with the subpoena? Or put another way, why would the powers that be find it so objectionable that people questioned this process? The answer, in case you need to know it, is because they cheated. Duh. Why wouldn't you want somebody auditing your books? Probably because you're committing fraud. Why wouldn't you want somebody to look under your bed? Probably because you have something hidden there. Why don't you want Trump's people looking in to the vote of 2020? Because you rigged it. It's really very simple. And kind of an admission of guilt in a lot of ways, because we're about to go to a video. This was a video of Sidney Powell, who herself was subjected to like some of the most outrageous attacks from the Biden administration over her very responsible, as far as I'm concerned, questioning of the 2020 election. Here's a video from back then, clip 17. This interview, statements like this, these types of appearances, this is why she was targeted by the Biden FBI. This is why she was, I believe she was arrested, wasn't she, Sidney Powell? I mean, she was destroyed over this. Go to clip 17. Now you know all of the stuff that she mentions in this clip is absolutely valid for investigation and will be investigated by the DOJ. Here's Sidney Powell all the way back then, now likely reveling in her vindication since Trump is back in office and actually looking into the innumerable examples of flagrant deception when it came to the vote count in 2020. Let's watch.
Talking about Georgia, you've actually mentioned that some of the counties didn't actually do a hand recount. Now, can you Tell me more about this.
Yes, they often ran the same ballots through the same fraudulent creating machines, which did absolutely no good whatsoever. They did not look at each ballot and compare the signatures. If we could even get 100,000 ballots of the last 100,000 ballots run in Georgia, for example, we could show by instant mechanical analysis the difference in the ballots and the ink. We know that there were hundreds of thousands of fraudulent ballots imported into the country, likely from China. We have video of some coming across the border from Mexico. There's other information of ballots being shipped from one state to another. In fact, there was a postal service driver, I think, who was sent from New York to Pennsylvania in the middle of the night with a truckload of ballots that was then used to, quote, backfill, end quote, the vote count. It's absolutely absurd. We have more evidence coming in today of a massive load of ballots, I think, from Arizona to Georgia. So they had these warehouses of counterfeit ballots in different parts of the country, apparently, and then shipped them in the middle of the night as needed to backfill in the states where President Trump's voters poured out in such great number that they broke the algorithm they had pre-programmed in the computers for Dominion to create the fraud. That's why they had to stop counting in five states. And that's why it's absolutely absurd to say that there wasn't voter fraud here. We have counterfeit ballots. We have dead people voting in by the thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. There were something someone called phantom voters. There were just more manner and means of fraud than any law-abiding American citizen could possibly imagine. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And they were so in our face with it. And then to deny it is purely Machiavellian.
And then she was arrested and had her life destroyed. And they went to extraordinary lengths to silence these types of questions when, if the questions were meritless, when the suspicion, if the suspicion was unwarranted, then it would have been a matter of infinite simplicity to just answer the questions, provide the facts. That's not what happened. And I know I've made the argument a lot, but I probably haven't made it in a long time. With mail-in ballots, it's not a question of whether or not it was rigged. The process by which the 2020 election was held guaranteed that it was impossible to know whether or not your vote count was accurate. If you have absolutely no controls over where ballots come from, who actually filled them out, whether the actual person filled them out, or whether somebody filled out a ballot with their name on it, when there's no way of people to confirm that their ballots were received or not, it made it literally impossible for us to trust any results, because it's impossible to audit any results, because there is no chain of custody. There is no system by which you could guarantee any security of any aspect of the entire election. That was the purpose of it. And we again called that out months before it even happened, the whole time saying, this is ridiculous. You're mailing out ballots to people. People are getting ballots for people that haven't lived at the home for 20 years. They're getting ballots for their pets somehow. They're finding boxes of ballots on the side of the road on a regular basis. You cannot confirm or deny that the vote was valid because you have no idea where the votes came from or who cast them. It broke our entire system, and the results should have been kicked out for that reason alone. You know, what else has a chain of custody? Evidence in a murder case, right? Imagine trying a murder case and the prosecution just says, this knife, this is the murder weapon. You go, well, where did it come from? They go, don't worry about it. Well, where'd you find it? Doesn't matter. It's here now. It's the murder weapon. We promise. It's just like, no, you have to have the chain of custody. You have to show where it was found, who found it. They have to swear on their honor and, you know, take an oath that all the information they provide in the affidavit is legitimate. You need to actually follow the path of the item all the way up to the courtroom when it's presented as evidence, so you can guarantee this is in fact the knife that was used. But imagine if none of that was required. Well, it's COVID now, so we're going to do mail-in evidence. So now just if we get a package that says this is murder knife, then that's the murder knife now. Well, somebody sent it in from somewhere. Therefore, it is now evidence that you committed the crime. Like, it's so crazy that we allowed this to go on. And they got away with it and that they threw people in jail for questioning it and surveilled 20% of the entire Congress because they also had questions about this. I mean, this whole thing was a extremely sophisticated, extremely high level, extremely widespread conspiracy to steal the election in 2020. Now, the good news is, and one thing we have to keep reminding ourselves, is that that was the best possible thing that could have happened. We didn't know. We didn't know at the time how the next 4 years would unfold. And, you know, maybe I'm not right about this because maybe the open border was so damaging, we'll like never recover from that. Maybe it really was a do or die moment for America. But I like Trump in 2024 a lot more than I would have liked him in 2020. If he had maintained his presidency, of course, he would be gone now, right? He'd be out of public office. He'd be out of public life. They could have just endured another 4 years of Trump, and then he would have been gone forever, and they could have gotten right back to putting two puppets on the stage and asking us to choose between them. They couldn't help themselves. They had to rig the election in 2020, which only means that Trump came back in 2024 that much more empowered. We've got J.D. Vance instead of Mike Pence. We've got Elon Musk and the tech bros backing up Trump in really powerful ways. None of that would have happened if they'd just let us vote in 2020. Sort of a similar theme throughout this whole show. Just like, chill, stop doing illegal crap, and it will actually probably work out for you. You know, that's what happens when you're actually pursuing a righteous goal, is even the interruptions turn out to be blessings. That is a very important lesson for all of us to learn. But we need to get justice for what was done to us in 2020. And it's not a question. We don't need an investigation. We need justice. We need it undone. We need to figure out exactly how it was carried off. But whether or not the election was stolen, to me, is not a question. It was. And you cannot present evidence that it wasn't. It doesn't exist. You can't tell me that the mail-in ballots were legitimate. You don't know that. And you cannot know that. That's the point of the mail-in ballots. In late July, the Georgia State Election Board voted 3-2 to pass a resolution seeking assistance from the Justice Department to re-examine the 2020 election in Fulton County. State Election Board member Janice Johnson, who introduced the resolution, said at the time, "This case is not closed. Transparency appears to have been frustrated at multiple turns in Georgia. The State Election Board has cited unexplained anomalies in vote tabulation and storage related to the 2020 election in a letter to you dated November 7th, 2024. The voting section of the Civil Rights Division has also been made aware in correspondence to it on August 1st, 2025 from voter transparency advocates of multiple instances of government obstruction of transparency requests, including high-resolution ballot scans, signature verification documents, and various metadata requests." Well, why would they withhold that information? Why would they not want to provide that? If all of this suspicion is unfounded, providing that information would put the whole thing to bed, wouldn't it? Because they cheated. That's the answer. And of course, Jack Smith launched this giant investigation on the crime of asking the very questions that are now being put in subpoenas. Let's go to clip 13 here. It looks like this investigation into the investigation, the charges into the persecution, is going to be a lot more widespread and a lot more powerful than we previously thought. I pray this is true. It's John Solomon talking to Steve Bannon about what's next for the Jack Smith case, the Arctic Frost case, the surveillance case, the Russiagate case, all of the criminal persecution that the Democrats did to Republicans between 2020 and 2024. Let's watch.
There is a real turning in for it. I think the big thing that's going to happen, Steve, I think the U.S. attorney in Miami is going to be made the key prosecutor, and this whole case is going to move down. And Jack Smith's final actions in Florida are going to move the case to Florida. And then we're going to go all the way back to maybe as early as 2014 in the IRS and look at this as one large grand conspiracy case to misuse the power of the FBI and the Justice Department to go after MAGA Nation. This is a MAGA dragnet. That's what you see here. And, you know, one FBI official I talked to today said what they did, They took a boat into the ocean, and they were towing to find any license plate they could tag on Donald Trump's car. They were simply looking for anything. You don't do criminal investigations that way. You have to have a reason to look at Americans. That didn't happen here, according to the people who've reviewed this evidence.
Where is this investigation going to go, and what are the next, you believe, major reveals we're going to see?
I think some of the people who were part of Arctic Frost are going to get both congressional and grand jury subpoenas. People will be hauled before the court and forced to answer. And I want to remind people something that Jim Jordan said on our show last night. Jack Smith's two top deputies have taken the Fifth Amendment, prosecutors have taken the Fifth Amendment about what they did in this case. What does that mean? They think they may have engaged in criminality. You can't take the Fifth Amendment if you don't think you have criminal liability. That is a stunning thing. We don't normally see prosecutors and FBI agents saying, I'm taking the Fifth. You know something serious is here. And I think what's going on now is that people are starting to get grand jury subpoenas. I've been talking to defense lawyers. There was about 20 or 30 that have gone out in the last couple of weeks. The big conspiracy is now being put together. Now, whether a grand jury indicts, whether you get convictions, we'll see. But they're looking at a decade as one criminal machine, that the Comey, McGarland, Jack Smith era was an ongoing criminal enterprise like a mob or mafia or drug kingpin. And the crimes were violating innocent American civil liberties to try to score a political score in politics. That is so extraordinary. I don't think I ever would have uttered those words, ever thought I would utter those words as a journalist. That's what went on here. All right, listen, Jack Smith is at the origins of the IRS case. There are emails between him and Lois Lerner that we focused on and some other people in the Justice Department. That same group carries all the way through the raid at Mar-a-Lago. The prosecution's up to 24. I think they're going to look at that as, hey, this was an effort to drain Republicans of money and reputation, maybe put some in prison to make sure that the populist movement that Donald Trump was building across America could be side-railed. They failed, and now because they failed, we now have people like Cash Patel and Pam Bondi turning this evidence up. I think people could end up going to prison for this. I think we're moving towards that direction. And the evidence is really strong. I mean, I had career FBI just very non-political look at this last night. Like, my God, I've never seen anything like this in my life. What are we doing? This isn't FBI work. This is political opposition work. When people who wore the badge for 40 years start saying that about their old agency, you know something bad is rotten in Denmark.
So there you go. Very powerful stuff. He says he expects people to go to jail. I mean, they really have to. If anybody participated in this, they got to go to jail, whether it's the rigging of the election, the covering up of the rigging of the election, throwing people in jail for merely investigating the election, or throwing their lawyers in jail for defending them against the persecution. There was a gigantic mafia-style attack on the American Republic in 2020, and all the people that participated in it are out there walking around free as a bird. If that's the case in 2028, we're going to have a major, major problem. If we don't get this going now, these people are going to escape justice. And I, for one, will not stand for that. Stay tuned, folks. Very special hour coming up next. You're not going to want to miss it.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps. People with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds, When cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with Methylene Blue from the alexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.